from Wentworth Institute of Technology in Boston. Welcome to Inside Wentworth.
Okay, hello and welcome to the third episode of Inside Wentworth. I'm Caleb Cochran, Director of Communication, Marketing, and Public Relations here at Wentworth Institute of Technology. And today I'll be talking with Kevin Kidd, Director of the Douglas D. Schumann Library and Learning Commons here at Wentworth. Before we start our talk, I want to say a quick thank you to our friends at Wire, the Wentworth radio station. Dave and everyone at Wire have been very helpful to us as we've worked over the past month or so to get this podcast off the ground. They've helped us with production, lent us their studio, and even recorded our introduction. So thanks to all our friends at Wire. Kevin Kidd came to Wentworth as director of the Wentworth Library in January 2015. Before coming to Wentworth, Kevin spent many years at Boston College University Libraries, where he was head of library systems and applications. His work has taken him as far as Florence, Italy, where he spent a year as the senior research fellow in e-resources and systems at the European University Institute. Since he began at Wentworth, Kevin has led the renovation of the library, which was launched by a $5 million gift from Doug Schumann, a generous alum who also funded the Schumann Fitness Center here at Wentworth. The Douglas D. Schumann Library and Learning Commons opened earlier this month, and I'm thrilled to have Kevin Kidd here as our guest to talk about the Wentworth Library and also about the future of college and university libraries. Kevin, welcome to Inside Wentworth.
Thank you.
So I think you and I are roughly the same age, or in the same ballpark. And so when you and I were college age, college and university libraries seem to always be talking about the number of volumes they had and the number of books in the library. And nowadays, that doesn't seem to be something that's emphasized quite as much. And the internet is certainly a part of that shift. But tell me a little bit about what else has happened in the past, say, 20, 25 years that's really changed and changed in terms of what's deemed important by students and also by, you know, folks like you who are running libraries.
Right. Well, for sure, the internet. I mean, that changed everything for everybody and for libraries, of course. The question of volumes and how do you really gets to the heart of what is the best library. So I'll give you an example. At Boston College, when I was there, we made a big push in the early 2000s to become part of the Association of Research Libraries. So Harvard libraries, you know, Boston Public Library, New York Public Library, major research libraries. And so even in the late 90s, 2000s, when the internet was sort of well on its way, volumes still meant something. Yeah. About, you know, you can only be a great research library if you have the books there. But I think since then, these kind of agencies, accrediting agencies and other groups that you join have really gotten away from that because of the rise of ebooks and e-journals. And so libraries, that's one result of it is you know, you still have to go through and explain your services and say how many ebooks you have now and how many e-journals and things like that. But in any case, it's not the most important thing anymore. I think the most important thing really goes down to how well libraries can serve people who never come to the library. I think that, to me, is the biggest challenge now in the age of Google. How do you tell people and convince people that the library still has services that are useful and sure. that we can provide?
Yeah. So again, when you and I were in college, or at least when I was speaking from my own experience, it was kind of accepted, you know, the food wasn't going to be great, your dorm room wasn't going to be anything special, and the fitness center, if there was one, wasn't going to be anything special either. And now students are expecting at their college to have great food, to have a really nice place to live, to have a state-of-the-art gym, and they'll shop around to find schools that have these amenities that they're looking for. So how do libraries fit into that kind of evolving picture of what students are looking for in 2016?
Libraries are, in terms of the facilities that any university offers, libraries are actually at the very top of the facilities that students look at and deem important. Whether or not they actually show up in the library, it's not the athletic facilities or the awesome food. The number one thing that students look at when they come to universities in terms of the facilities when they're deciding to go there is how good are the facilities in the major they intend to do. And then the library.
Yeah.
And that is proven or was supported by a big study of about 17,000 students across Canada and the United States who were asked why didn't you go to a certain place?
Yeah.
And the number one reason was bad facilities in my major, and the second was a bad library.
Yeah.
So libraries are very important in terms of getting people into the university to matriculate there. But it speaks to something about what I think what people think about what they're going to get out of education. The library is important. The library is a symbol of your education and you're learning something. It's there's some level of almost awe to the space,
sure,
as it were. And I think that spaces that don't really feel right to students or feel old or are really not good for universities to have.
Sure.
So this is why this is going to be huge here at Wentworth for us, because previously, as you know, the space was really, this building that we're in, the Beatty Hall, was renovated in, or was built in 1967, I think it was opened.
Yeah.
And the library pretty much remained more or less unchanged throughout that time in terms of its design and facilities. And where libraries were going had gotten way beyond that, where we were. And it wasn't a place that the Institute, when they were bringing potential students in, showed off. Now they're going to be cruising through here constantly with their with the tours and everything.
Yeah.
So it's going to be very interesting to see how much it affects, and if in fact it does affect enrollment or decisions.
Yeah. So let's get into it a little bit. Take us through some of the changes here at what's now called the Douglas D. Schumann Library and Learning Commons.
We essentially gutted the library down to the concrete in this building and rebuilt it entirely. With the design that Perkins and Will, the architects, did was just fantastic, a great use of the space. What we did is our bottom line goal was to create a variety of types of spaces to support the type of learning that students do here. So on any given day, students may need to come in and they may need to study heads down, quiet, for a test.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you think of traditional library, right? You
sure.
go in, it's quiet.
Yeah.
And students need that. They still need that. But then you may need to get together with a group of your peers and do some collaboration work. At some point, you may need to do an online course and connect. And you need access to power and you need access to network and all these things. So we want to support really all those types of learning and work that go on in the same space. So we wanted a variety of space types, access to power and network throughout. We also wanted to add more space for the students. Wentworth has grown, hugely since this library was built, so we wanted to do everything we could to open up the space for students and to give them more space for these new activities. So we moved most of the collection into high-density compact shelving. That saved about 47% to 50% of the footprint of our regular bookshelves. So we sort of compacted down the footprint of bookshelves, which do take up an enormous amount of space.
Sure.
We actually went through and deaccessioned, that is, removed from the collection a lot of old books that really were no longer used. And we focused on increasing our e-books and e-journals.
Yeah.
We added more study rooms, all high-tech study rooms, so you can connect multiple PCs, share your work on these 70-inch monitors in the spaces.
Yeah.
The students can go online and reserve those spaces using our Outlook calendar systems. Very simple, integrated, straightforward. Printing everywhere, color scanning and printing, that's very heavily used. So we wanted to add that throughout the library. We wanted to make it easy to move through the library, so it's very open space. When you walk in, you can immediately see where things were. In the old library, it was very sort of closed off. You walked in, and your view through the library was blocked off by bookcases.
Right, right.
We opened that up so that when you arrive, you know, wayfinding is much easier. You can kind of see where you need to go right away.
Yeah.
So it is an utterly different space, and it was amazing to see the students come in. The students who had been here last year in the old library, and then all of a sudden, 4 months later, they come back and bam, it's totally different.
It's
great.
Talk a little bit about what happened on the what I'm thinking of is the second floor of the library, where this is sort of insider talk for people who actually know the interior of the Wentworth Library, but where your office used to be, or up on that second tier above that staircase, when I went up looking for you this morning, that's totally different. So talk about what's going on up there.
We've got three study rooms up there. It's glass throughout, so what's beautiful about it is that area that you're referring to used to have what are archives and some staff offices sort of jammed back in there.
Yeah.
That blocked out all the light. There's this beautiful floor-to-ceiling glass walls that look out on the quad. That's all opened up. We have a nice classroom program room where we do instruction.
Yeah.
We have events in there. Study rooms. All, again, the walls to those rooms are glass. So it lets the light through into the interior of the library. Up there we have plotting and printing. There's sort of a balcony area that's the mezzanine that previously had bookcases on it, so it felt like the ceiling, which, if you know the space, is sort of three stories high. It's this beautiful, open space that really felt like the ceiling was lowered, actually, when you stand there because of the bookcases.
Right.
So you'd stand next to the bookcases and really constrained it, felt like it closed the space. Once we removed the bookcases, now we have all this open seating there. Again, students can literally plug their phones and devices into power, which is in the seats themselves, and network, and it's just completely opened it up, made it this sort of collaboration space. But there's also nice comfy chairs up there, so you can also relax, and then on the other side, so the whole sort of mezzanine area is U-shaped, and on one side we built a reading room, and this is really our quiet study area, and that's all glassed in with glass doors. You go in there, it is a very quiet, studious space with tables with lights on them. So, and students, what I loved about it, and this is a school of design as well as an engineering school, is really how you could see the impact of good design.
Yeah.
Because when you go in that space, the students immediately, day one, were quiet in there.
Yeah.
And we didn't put any. There were no signs that said this. They didn't even say reading room at that point. You know, we were still putting up the signage, but there's no sign in there that says be quiet, you know, in this space. They just are in that space, which is amazing. And that's design. I mean, that's what we wanted.
Sure.
We wanted the space to the design of the space to tell the students how to use the space. We don't want to plop signs everywhere and have that sort of traditional librarian going up and saying shh all the time. That day and age is over, but we do need this quiet space, and there it is, and they figured it out, and which is great.
So in addition to all these, you know, beautiful additions that are very visible to the eye, there was a lot of work that you can't see, and that accounted for a good portion of the budget too.
So
there are things like air handling and that kind of thing that were definitely necessary in the restructuring of the space. So tell us a little bit about that work.
Well, we replaced all the windows on the entire building. So they were the original metal frame windows.
And not just the library, but the entire building.
Yeah, all new windows, new glass. The glass itself looks beautiful, beautiful sort of stainless steel frames. The air handling, so we have fresh air now in the space, which we didn't have before.
Yeah.
Fresh air in the faculty offices and everything on the floors above, which is the third and fourth floor.
Yeah.
So that's great for the faculty, for the whole building. It really, you can tell a difference just getting fresh air in there. Also, we put, in terms of infrastructure, and something that's kind of hidden, we have a very low-profile raised floor throughout the library.
Yeah, you can kind of notice that when you walk around.
When you walk, you can kind of hear, like, there's a little sound difference as you step off the concrete onto this raised floor. It's all under this beautiful carpeting, but all the wiring and power goes through the floor, and the beauty of that is, as we move into the future and need to reconfigure the space for a different type of use, or say we get new furniture or what have you, you can easily add new power, move around, power plugs, network plugs,
yeah,
without having to essentially drill new cores into the concrete, sure, of the building, which of course is a huge expense and a huge disruption.
Yeah.
So as part of the design, we really wanted to make this space sort of future proof as much as we could.
Yeah.
And that's helping that for sure.
Yeah.
So new air, new glass, light everywhere, access to power network again is really is making a huge impact.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like a brand new space when you walk around, which was obviously the intention, and you feel that.
Right.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a sort of small renovation. It is almost like having a new building.
Yeah.
I mean, it's what it feels like.
Yeah. So what's your, a lot of changes. If you had to pick one thing that to you is the wow, you know, your favorite piece of the whole renovation, what would you say it is?
Visually, I love the open design.
Yeah.
So removing all the bookcases that were sort of blocking view. You have to come into the space and see it, but really you feel the impact of the space. We have wood lining what was old concrete painted walls now, and the wood itself is actually acoustical tiling.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like beautiful maple. You cannot tell unless you get very close. It actually absorbs sound. The space would be incredibly loud. We had I would get 3 or 4, emails from students every year saying, space is too loud. There's nowhere quiet to go.
So did the architect come up with that, or did you have an acoustic consultant come in, or how did that work?
They did, and they worked with the architect.
Yeah.
We specified as part of the program, when we were working with the architect to say what do we really need in the space. That was high on the list.
Yeah.
We said we need to deal with this, with the acoustical issues in here, and this was their solution. It's a beautiful solution.
Yeah.
And it actually works. I mean, you can tell. I've had so many students comment.
That's great.
On it. You can really tell. So that, in terms of the design, opening it up and dealing with the sound issues, with the noise issues, was fantastic. On the other side, I really like that we are making moves to bring technology fully into the library. And it's impossible now. In 2016, to use any library really without the intervention of technology.
Yeah.
There's no card catalogs anymore. Everything is online, and we in the library have to be able to support it.
Yeah.
So we're bringing technology in decisively. We're working closely with the DTS, with IT, to bring IT support into the library, but also training librarians. We want students to have a seamless experience. They come in and they're using technology in the library. We don't want to have to send them to another building to get help,
sure,
or to another floor. They're using their tech in the library. When they have problems or questions, we need to be there in the library to solve them at that moment.
Yeah.
And that's the future, and that's what we have to do. So that, I'm excited about that, and I'm excited about partnering with DTS to accomplish that. I think that's a big thing that we're adding here. Another exciting thing is we applied for and got a grant from the George Alden Trust for $100,000 for our technology sandbox. And the technology sandbox is essentially a small makerspace. So we're going to have self-service 3D printing. It's going to be run throughout the year by a co-op.
That's great.
So a technology sandbox manager co-op, which is a new position we got here. As I said, we're starting with 3D printing and 3D scanning, but we are adding technology borrowing. So we'll actually, at some point, we'll loan 3D printers to students. We will we'll be loaning things like GoPro cameras and digital SLR cameras, 360-degree video cameras. So we're going to have all this photography equipment, but also, Arduino and Raspberry Pi circuit boards. Do-it-yourself electronics, just even things like digital calipers and drafting tools.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a whole set of things that our students might use at any given time or need, and maybe they don't have access to or don't want to go buy. We're going to loan them out, and we're putting in place a whole system to manage this. So as part of the design, we have a closet where that's full of power and network where we can store the stuff, lock it up, but also charge it overnight.
Yep.
If it needs updating, we can run updates. So we're putting in process an entire workflow to manage that and let students borrow it. So that's also really exciting.
That's great. So how do you think some of these physical improvements will change the way that both students and faculty members use the library to work, both individually and together?
I think first of all, the library itself is much more inviting. I've already seen faculty meeting students in here coming in, and I think it's a place that feels like maybe faculty member will say, hey, let's go meet in the library.
Yeah.
And we have coffee machine. I think we have the best coffee on campus, Ruby coffee machine. I'm not joking. It's really amazing coffee. They grind it a cup at a time and French press it in this machine. It's incredible. So more high tech in the library if you like coffee. But in any case, it's an inviting space. So we've already seen faculty in here meeting with their students, talking in small groups. And that allows for students to run into their professors. Think about it. You know, you can just sort of serendipitous encounters. I think that's part of, you know, being part of the Wentworth community, being part of a learning community. You don't have to make an appointment and go meet your professor. You might just run into that person in the library. And that's been a significant uptick those kind of encounters in this space. Just we've witnessed it. But I think we want to open the space up also for the professor to come in, faculty members, and maybe do presentations and seminars. In the tech sandbox, we have our program room. We're inviting people in to do small events in the space. You know, this is a community space.
Yeah.
We also have a gallery in the space, so we want to show the world the work that our students and faculty do,
mm-hmm.
Because there's so much great stuff that goes on here. So I think that just the virtue that it's open, inviting, and we're encouraging people to come in here is really kind of changing the way people interact and help each other learn, and sort of making this more of a community space,
yeah.
And encouraging the community of learning, I hope.
Yeah.
So
you've been here for almost 2 years. What have you noticed as far as how Wentworth students, particularly Wentworth students, use resources in the library? And what do you anticipate now that the renovated library has opened?
The library was always very full, and I think previously when it was very much, you know, all you had were four top tables and sort of hard chairs.
Yeah.
Now it's very, as I said, very inviting, cozy, but we never had trouble getting people in here. So.
Yeah.
So what we're seeing essentially is an uptick where people are really pouring in now. The Wentworth students are very focused. They've never been shy about coming in and using and making themselves at home in the space, and I think that will continue. I think we have a space where many more of the seats will be used. So in fact, the library, this is completely anecdotal, but I feel like is actually getting more traffic.
Yeah.
And that may be a novelty uptick, but I don't think so. I think the space is going to continue to be full, but much more widely used. I'm sorry
to interrupt you. Do you have any kind of a ticker or anything to count usage? Yeah,
we do, and we have the stats from previously as
So
it will be it will be interesting to collect some of that data for a while
and see.
But my feeling is that it's a central place. And as I said, the variety of types of seating and ways it can be used, the space itself can be used, is simply just in and of itself going to invite more use of it. So in terms of using library resources, the students very much want e-resources.
Mm-hmm.
We are working on a new website, which we have deployed now to build it we're developing it much more as sort of a research platform, help students guide themselves to find the materials they need. So make it much easier than our previous website was. So there is there are students, you know, a lot of people are shy about coming up and asking for help. So we spend a lot of time saying, you can come ask us. We're librarians. This is what we do. We're here to help you.
Yeah.
We're very nice. We get jokes. I mean, so but there are still a lot of people who would rather just go online and find stuff. And so our job is to make it easier to find stuff, to kind of filter through the, you know, it's trying to find information nowadays. It's drinking from the proverbial fire hose.
Sure.
So our job is sort of help people filter through that. So, and that kind of thing will continue. I think Wentworth students are like a lot of college students. They they want to try to find stuff online, and they want to Google stuff and get it very easily. Our job here is to try to help them find good information.
Right.
So Google's perfectly legitimate. It's a great place to start searching, but we take every opportunity to say, hey, you know, we also have these other resources we spend a load of money on, and we spend that money because these are awesome resources, things that you really should look at. So I'm thinking and hoping that the new space and new website and the combination will increase usage of these kind of things and hopefully allow us to interact even more with the students.
Yeah. So with all of these changes, there's certainly been a learning curve for you, I imagine, and your staff. So tell me a little bit about that piece of it, because that's something that, not only have you had all these physical changes, but the way the library actually runs has changed a little bit as well, right? So tell me a little bit about that.
I think the biggest change, we've always been very good at doing kind of library things, and library things are things like, you know, ordering books and managing accounts and cataloging stuff and putting it online. I mean, that is sort of your typical library, going into classes and teaching bibliographic instruction or research support. Those are all things that we do. Our staff is very good at that. They know the programs here, and we're able to support them. And I think some of the biggest changes are we really want to more seamlessly support the technology that supports those kind of quote library things. So research, we need to, as I said, be more seamless about that. That's a big learning curve.
Yeah.
More tightly integrating our organization with the help desk side of DTS. That's a big challenge.
Yeah.
It's two different organizations. There's different organizational cultures. Working with DTS to build that communication and interaction, so that is seamless as well. DTS is a great partner in this. I mean, I think they know as well as we do that it's going to benefit everyone to work well together. But like anything, that's a new challenge. It's something we haven't done before. I think we want to try to integrate library and information literacy with coursework students do versus we'd much rather integrate with a course, work closely on an assignment with students and with faculty than say, we'll come into class and show you, you know, in half an hour how to use the library website.
Yeah.
So we want really much more substantial interaction with the students. Wentworth changed recently, has been updating its curriculum so that information literacy is really integrated with general studies curriculum.
Yeah.
And you know, we're right there involved in that, and so we want to sort of up our game on the library service side and, again, you know, work more closely with faculty and students in that way.
Yeah.
So that's all learning curve stuff. That's all things that we're developing and moving forward with.
Good. So the last sort of real question I have before we get to a couple of quick fun things at the end here, going back really broadly, when you look ahead and think of what libraries in general might be like, say 15 years from now, what do you see? Or put it another way, what trends have you seen over the past, you know, 5 to 10 years that you think will really be advancing even further in the next 10?
I think we'll see libraries get much more involved with faculty research support. I mean, it's something that libraries always want to do, but faculty now are doing research and work that produces enormous amounts of data.
Yeah.
And so there's probably for university libraries, you know, sort of in general, opportunities to help manage research data. That's a big thing. I can see it happening here. Librarians are good at organizing data. And the data that's produced is just incredible, the amount of data that's produced on a daily basis, just in academia, much less the rest of the world, as it were. But I definitely see a role there. I think libraries need to also focus on surfacing, bringing out, making easier to find special collections that they have.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got old photographs and artifacts from Wentworth's history. You know, we should catalog these, put these online, make it so other people doing research anywhere in the world can find it.
Yeah.
So again, I think it's probably not surprising that much of this new stuff is all around digital, online indexes, finding things, bringing forward special collections, making it easier to find things for researchers, and just doing much better at helping people who are doing research really sort through all the enormous amount of information that's out there. I mean, it's overwhelming. So things that help accomplish those kinds of things, I think, are where libraries are going to focus. But the technology is changing so fast, libraries are going to have to continue to train and sort of up their game to train their staff to do this kind of work. And it's not easy because you're already still doing all the other things you used to do.
Yeah.
Right? But now we have this other stuff that we really need to be doing with online and digital world.
And what about the borrowing piece? So you talked about, you know, in the very near future, you're going to be able to walk into the Wentworth Library and borrow a GoPro camera, for instance,
right,
or something like that. I mean,
right,
is that going to be the norm? Are you going to be able to walk into your public library in a few years and be able to check out
they're
a 3D printer, a GoPro camera?
They're already doing that kind of thing. I mean, you know, you have public libraries on, perhaps we're actually in the forefront of this kind of thing, where you have public libraries loaning toolboxes to people. This kind of thing is where a lot of libraries are going.
Yeah.
It's a challenge because managing that kind of stuff is very different from what we know. You know, we're very used to managing books and making it easy to find those kind of things. But managing a box full of tools or all the stuff you need even for a GoPro camera.
Right.
It's not just the camera, but it's the memory disk, it's the charging cords, it's the housing for the thing, it's the kit box itself, you know, it's all this stuff
that
you have to catalog and manage, and so it's all new processes. We're not getting a lot more staff to do this kind of stuff.
Right.
So I absolutely am certain that's where it's going. I think libraries want to remain central and relevant to their respective institutions, universities, towns, what have you.
Yeah.
This is where it's going for sure.
Yeah. All right, so that's sort of the meat of things. Now just a few kind of fun things before we bring this to a close. Tell me your favorite book, movie, and podcast.
Oh, gosh.
Start with book.
My favorite book. This is going to sound really, really kind of snobby. But Ulysses by James Joyce. I did a master's in Irish literature.
Yeah.
And I spent a year reading that book and studying the sort of history of Ireland up till that point that James Joyce wrote it. And the book itself is hilarious and great, amazing. And so I actually really loved the book. And I hate saying that to people because you're like, you're just saying that. That's Ulysses. That's like, you know, reading War and Peace or something.
Right.
But in any case, that's my favorite. That is my favorite book. My favorite movie? Ooh, probably Dr. Strangelove. Just, if you haven't seen it, you should watch it. It's great. It's crazy. Hilarious. My favorite podcast? That's hard to say. I actually don't listen to a lot of podcasts. One that I have been listening to recently on a long family trip was Welcome to Night Vale, which is this, again, crazy, weird, like, the scenarios you're listening to a, almost like a public radio broadcast radio station in this strange town in central Arizona. And it's, I highly recommend that one.
Welcome to Night Vale?
Welcome to Night Vale.
Okay, I'm going to look for that on iTunes. Do you subscribe to magazines and newspapers? And if so, what are a couple?
New Yorker.
Yeah.
And Harper's, we get at home. Those are the main ones.
Read a print newspaper anymore?
New York Times. Yeah, actually, I do.
Yeah.
I do, but I have the apps on my phone.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, same here.
Coming in on the train in the morning, I read them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the difference between microfilm and microfiche? Quickly.
Microfilm is film. It's literally like a roll of film that's miniaturized that you need a reader. Microfiche is a sheet, small sheet of it's like film material, but it's essentially a sheet. So it's a roll of film is microfilm, and a sheet is a fiche.
Do you still use either or both of those here?
No, thank God. No. Although there's an enormous amount of information that's on fiche and film in libraries all over the place that is not online.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Do you read with a Kindle or a Nook or anything like that, or are you still traditional book?
I have a Kindle.
Yeah.
I like books, though. Books are fairly sophisticated technologies themselves, believe it or not, and they're very user-friendly. But I do have a Kindle. I like the Kindle, too.
What's your favorite library in the world and why?
Ooh, my favorite library in the world is the Wentworth Institute. It's the Schumann Library, the Wentworth Institute of Technology, for obvious reasons. But I had to pick another one, I would say... design-wise, is the library at Trinity College in Dublin. It's a beautiful, their reading room in there is incredible. I'm sure people have seen pictures of it, whether they realize it or not. But it's a beautiful library, and the materials they have at Trinity, with my interest in Irish literature, are just astounding, amazing stuff. So
nice. Yeah. And finally, if you weren't a library director, what would your dream job be?
Astrophysicist. Yeah, for sure. Too bad I'm not good at math, but I actually love, I read all the books, I watch all the universe shows, I read all the popular physics books. I think that it's just amazing and mind-blowing stuff.
Cool. And you're also a musician, right? You want to plug your band?
Yeah. We have a bluegrass, Americana, Appalachian string band style music. We're called the Barn Burners String Band.
Anything coming up? Any upcoming appearances?
I actually have a gig tomorrow, Saturday, in Stone Church at the Stone Church in New Hampshire, which is a pub club up there.
Nice. So Saturday,
September
17th, 2016, for those who are listening.
Yeah.
So, Kevin, this has been great. Thanks to our guest, Kevin Kidd.
Thank you.
Thanks again to our friends at Wire Radio, and you can find every episode of Inside Wentworth on iTunes. Once again, I'm Caleb Cochran. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Inside Wentworth. To learn more about Wentworth and read our latest news and feature stories, visit us online at www.wit.edu. Thanks for listening to Inside Wentworth. To learn more about Wentworth and read our latest news and feature stories, visit us online at www.wit.edu.